One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Jaguar and KJ Baxter here, back with another Utopia Talks podcast. Today's guest is one of the artists at the forefront of drum and bass's revival. She is the voice of a new generation of dance music makers and ravers. If you've not seen her at a festival this summer, you've probably seen her on TikTok. Her ridiculously catchy tunes span UKG, jungle, pop. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Piri.
Hello.
Hey. Thank you so much for that introduction. Oh my God, I'm flattered.
Well, it's sweet what we words. Do. Mm. It's what we do. You okay?
Yeah, super gassed to be here. Very fun. My first like proper like sit down at a table podcast.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow, what an honour.
Yeah, I'm gassed.
Well, hopefully we don't disappoint.
I feel like one of them YouTubers, you know.
You're sat in one of the gaming chairs as well.
Literally. I'm locked in, guys.
Yeah, I mean, hey, maybe that's what we should do. We should get like a Nintendo Switch.
Ooh. Should I play Minecraft while you talk?
Oh, yeah, sick.
It's like, you know, on TikTok now, when to like hold people's attention span, there's a video and then there's a game graphic underneath to try and like help you focus.
Subway Surfers or like Kinetic Sand.
Yeah. We need some of them.
Okay, series 4.
That's the
extra
goal, yeah.
Stimulation.
Yes.
Yeah. Season.
Good to know. Yeah, you've been busy.
Yes.
I didn't even like how's the summer been as we record
this? It's been
this
crazy. Like, it's my first year of like European festivals. That was fun. I was kind of anxious for it at first just cuz I don't know, like all the travel just like stressed me out.
Yeah.
Like so many flights, and it seems crazy to like just fly somewhere and then fly back the next day, you know.
I know.
To do like a half an hour show.
Yeah.
It's insane, but it's been super fun. Like I don't know why I was so stressed about it. I'm that type of person, I think, but I've enjoyed it a lot. To be honest.
What's been one of your favorite shows this year?
One of my favorite shows, Roskilde in Denmark took me by surprise though.
Okay.
I had no idea, like, you know, I was just kind of thinking like, oh yeah, they're probably like, they don't know me as well, like in mainland Europe as like, UK is a bit of a bubble, I think, with its music, especially right now. So I wasn't expecting much, but then like, they were going mental. They were jumping, like chanting. And then towards the end of the show, we were kind of booked for a show that was longer than our usual one that we run. So, you know, me and my musical director were like, what do we do? So we put in like a bit of the Danish national anthem towards the end.
What?
Just like almost as like a time filler. I was just gonna be like, guys, thank you for having me in Denmark. But then like, we did not anticipate the response. That they were singing it.
Oh.
They were, and then we like put a drum and bass beat over it as well. They were going mental, and then On and On started. Yeah. And they were still singing the anthem, like just kept going. It was two crees.
Oh, that's so
yeah,
fun.
It felt so good on stage as well. Just like so much good energy when people get involved. I found out afterwards as well, most of them, like, I had a friend in the crowd who was kind of asking around, like, do you know her? And they were like, no one like really knew. They were just there for the vibes, which like makes it so much more special. Even
you've done your job.
Yeah, I was like let's go, thank you. And I found out like there was only like 2 drum and bass acts at the whole festival.
No way.
Which is crazy compared to the UK.
Yeah,
blew my mind when I found that out. I was like, yo,
big up Denmark.
Big up. Yes,
big in Denmark.
Thank you for having me, Roskilde.
There we go. So I want to take it back for you, because you make electronic music, and as I said in the intro, you're kind of part of this new generation, which I find fascinating. I mean, I'm saying that like I'm like 82. I'm only like 5 years older than you.
Those kids these days.
Oh, pesky Gen Zs. Yeah.
It were different Zoomers. Back in my day.
Where are you from? Sorry.
I don't know.
Cornwall.
Deep country. Just general farmer, right?
Yeah.
Was it
farmer?
Yeah, farmer. We'll go with that.
Okay. Let's go. It is now. But yeah, when did you fall in love with electronic music?
So for me, this question kind of like, it used to kind of make me feel like almost not ashamed, but just a bit like, ooh, because I feel like I got into it quite late. It was like second year of uni, so I was like 19, 20 kind of age. But it was just purely because I had not been around anyone who listened to it at all. Like I grew up in like a rural, like North Manchester. There was no scene.
Rochdale,
up the Dale, let's go.
Up the Dale.
But there was no scene whatsoever. And just like none of my friends were into that. Like everyone was just very like, you know, like chill, like indie vibes. And I, to be fair, my dad was an indie fan, my mom liked R&B. So no dance music from the parents' side either. And then it wasn't till like uni and like even like I went to uni in Lancaster and there's no scene there either. I just made a series of like poor choices for like dance music vibes. But yeah, it wasn't until like I met like a different group of friends in second year of uni who were like kind of into dance music. And I like literally I was hooked like straight away after my first event. I was like, what the hell? Because I never enjoyed clubbing that much until then. And I was always like, what is the hype about? Like, because it just was the music. I hadn't heard like what I needed to be hearing in that environment. So it was kind of, it clicked a lot for me, to be honest.
Yeah. Do you remember, I guess, like the first few raves you went to that you really enjoyed?
Yeah, there was a warehouse project I went to. God, I think... It was Shy FX. They've all got modelled up in my mind now. Because I lived like Manchester way, so I went to a bunch. I think it was Shy FX, a warehouse project. And then there was like a society for like electronic music in Lancaster that would throw like one event a month or something, maybe even less. And I went to that and it was just like local DJs, but it was sick still. Yeah. Had a great time.
Yeah, I love that. And I guess drum and bass specifically, what... Obviously, you mentioned Shy FX there. Was that like one of your early experiences of it?
Yeah, for sure. Like at the start, I was into very much into tech house, and then I was really into Liquid. And like Shy FX has some more like vibey, like chill tunes well. And it was that side of it that just really like stuck out to me. And then obviously like those Hybrid Minds as well, I was really into at first. I feel like that stuff's easy to latch onto when you're first getting into dance music as well, because of the like there's just a lot of melodies. There's a lot of like nice musical information going on. And then, yeah, I don't know. It's just, I really like tech house as well. I was doing my degree, like every day doing my dissertation. It was just like tech house pounding in the earbuds.
Love it.
Getting through it.
What was your degree?
Chemistry.
Wow.
We got a chemist.
Unexpected one. Let's go. Women in STEM.
Yeah.
Big up.
Is that, did you want to get in, like go into chemistry?
Yeah, it was like, I was always like science. Ever since like year five, when like I had my first like they added science to the syllabus, I was like, this is the one, let's go. Just really like interests me. I never liked history or anything or English, wasn't that type of kid. But yeah, as I was gonna do biology through GCSEs, but then in A levels I like fell in love with chemistry, so I went to uni.
Chemistry is really hard.
Chemistry is the hardest science, I think.
Physics actually blows out of the water, I think.
Yeah,
physics is
biology is the easy one, isn't it? Let's be real.
Yeah, because biology is real. Like you can just think about it, and it's like there, and it exists. Chemistry is like you can kind of like you can see like water and shit, but then physics is just like I don't know.
Oh yeah, like physics is a lot of theories, isn't it?
It's all imagination. It's either really really big or really really small. Like it's space or it's like nanoparticles. It's like.
What were you, you said that your mum played a lot of R&B and your dad was a lot of indie stuff, but what were you listening to like before drum and bass? Like
kind of like a mixture of the two. I was really, really into Arctic Monkeys, which I got from my dad, but I was like super obsessed, which I think a lot of Northern kids are, especially just like, cause it felt like, you know, they're only in Sheffield, she's around the corner kind of thing. And then I really liked, like, my mum was super into Mary J. Blige, so I listened to a lot of her as well.
Yeah.
And then I liked the Ting Tings a lot.
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
I had, like, a little purple iPod Nano with the wheel on it, and I had the Ting Tings album on there, and I would just, like, jam that all the
Where
time.
Where are the Ting Tings now?
What happened? The brother and sister, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think the brother's the drummer.
I can still picture the album artwork in my head.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, was it red? No.
Yeah.
Is it?
And it's, like... kind of newspapery style.
Oh my God, I can see it.
It slapped. They had such a moment.
Yeah.
But the rest of the songs on that album were fire as well.
What was the other ones? They obviously had That's Not My Name.
Yeah.
And they had...
There was like...
Oh, there's another one.
Fuck, the big ones.
I don't know, my brain.
Shut up and let me go.
Oh, that's yes. the one. That's the other big
come
one.
On. Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. It's funky as
yeah.
well. And then I was also really into Owl City, which is Rogue. But I yeah. guess that's kind of like electronic music. That was probably my yeah. first, the first like really electronic music that I was into.
Mm.
And like learned to like harmonize by like singing along to those tunes.
Which Fireflies.
Yeah, just because they're super like, oh. Oh, what a tune. Like what yeah. a, like genius.
Seriously.
And then what else was that? I got into K-pop at like when, like towards the end of like sixth form, I think. So like 16, 17. Mm-hmm. And I was like really, really into K-pop.
Okay, tell us more here because I don't really know much about K-pop. All I know is it's like people love it and it's like this huge deal.
Mm. It's like, I don't know, it's like a different world. So I was into anime at first. Just from like being like chronically online when I was younger, I think a lot of like anime is such an internet culture thing, and then like that kind of transitioned through like music because I listen to like anime music as well, like J-pop. That kind of transitioned into the K-pop, and it's just like I don't know, the whole industry is so different than like the Western music industry, and it is literally designed to do exactly what it did, which is just like there is someone in this group for everyone to like. There's like there's all this different kind of music, like K-pop, like covers like all genres, obviously in Korea, and it's just like it's designed and like packaged perfectly just to like just like TikTok, but like music just to capture your attention. But it's good though. Like some of the songs are so like weird and wacky and just like different than what you would hear from like Western music, and I think that's what like was really like sticking out to me. And then also just like the groups, they just have personality and they do all these like extra shows and like all this content and stuff. It's just so easy to like dive into, especially as like a young person.
Who were like your favorites?
My favorite initially was EXO, this boy group, but now these days I'm more into the girl groups. Girl power.
Nice.
Like Blackpink.
Yeah, I like Blackpink. I like Red Velvet a lot and Twice and New Jeans. Have you heard of New Jeans? They've just recently released some like UK dance music type beats.
No way.
Literally, they released like two title tracks recently of their EP, and one's drum and bass and one's garage and Jersey like bits as well.
You know what? I think I have heard.
Super Shy.
Yeah, I think I have heard their tunes. Wow.
Because they're like, they just like popped off like to the biggest level in Korea.
Yeah.
Crazy. But it's sick to see the UKG influence. Like,
yeah.
It's so different. Like, and the drums, it sounds proper like of this new wave that you were talking about.
Yeah, let's go there then. Because it's interesting how obviously trends come back around, things change, things develop, like UKG, jungle garage, drum and bass are not new genres. But I feel like the way it's permeating into, well, back into dance music, back into the mainstream, into the charts, and then also artists like yourselves who are kind of flipping it. And like, I feel like what you and Tommy have done really nicely is like make, say if we're going to pick a jungle tune, but kind of like pop songwriting.
Yeah, that's the vibe.
Yeah.
I think it was a big movement because like, obviously those genres are so sick and there's so much like just pure like enjoyment to be found in that kind of music. But I feel like for a lot of people, it's hard to latch onto just instrumental music. Like obviously it's sick, I could listen to a fully instrumental drum and bass tune, but especially, I don't know, for like the mass market, people love, obviously who doesn't love like singing along to tunes and just like connecting with melodies and lyrics and stuff. And there was like the odd tune from dance music that kind of had that vibe, like Flowers obviously popped off massively. And then there was like Gold Dust by Shy Effects.
Yes. Have you heard the remix package that came out?
No, is this a recent?
So it was like a 10 years of Gold Dust, which was probably like 2012. So I think it was last year. The remix package. So this is we're moving to another alley quickly.
I'm down for this
remix package is so good. There's some really sick remixes on there. And there's one, my brother had it in a rave and he sent like a 3-second video to me. He was like, what's this song? And then I found it. I was like, it sounds like Mr. Dynamite. Anyway, doesn't matter. There's one remix. I think it's Crafty Cuts. And it's like completely flipped the tune. And the original was such a banger. But this version, that particular one, is so good.
I need to check it out. I didn't know there was like recent remixes of
they're
that.
Really good.
Because it's such an iconic tune.
Yeah.
Like literally. So then there was like things like that where, because like, you know, that's just like pure drum and bass jungle, but it has this like vocal that people connected with. So it went massive into the mainstream where people didn't even clock it was drum and bass. You know what I mean? It's just like a fast song, I guess. But then, like, yeah, there was, I don't know what spurred it. Obviously, there was, like, Pink Panthers as well, which was true. Huge. That was, like, it was, like, 2021. It was around the same time that me and Tommy dropped Soft Spot. And there was, like, I don't know, Venby was just starting to make tunes as well. And there was a few others. And it just kind of, I think it just reached a broader audience, especially of, like, Gen Zs who hadn't heard that type of music before, like drum and bass and stuff like that. And then, I don't know, people were just able to, like, grasp onto it and relate to it. And then it unlocked the rest of it through that. It's like a gateway, I guess.
Yeah.
Into wider dance music.
It's interesting as well because it's dance music being made not just by DJs and producers.
Mm.
And also an artist that springs to mind is Yune Pinku.
Yes.
Because I interviewed her for my radio show maybe last year. And she said she doesn't enjoy or really go clubbing.
Yeah.
And I know she started DJing now, but she wasn't DJing at the time.
Yeah.
And I
rate her for being real about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you can be like, you can feel pressured to say, like I was saying about, you know, saying I only got into dance music when I was like 18.
Mm.
You feel pressured to be like, yeah, I've loved drum and bass since I was 8 years old, like all that. And like, I love the rave. But it's sick that, you know, you can just be real.
Oh, gotcha. And do it in your own way.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a pressure to be like super headsy as well, isn't there?
Isn't it? Because there's such a gatekeepy like vibe with it all.
Mm.
Like with, I don't know. The
probably added pressure if you're not a man as well.
So true. Because like, I don't know, I guess if you're a guy, some people just kind of have this assumption like, yes, a head.
Yeah.
You know, a drum and bass head here. But then for a woman, there's not that kind of like instant, you know, association, I guess. Which is changing, thankfully.
Yeah. Well. It is changing, but I can relate to what you're saying about, I felt a little bit like, oh, I should have, because I used to listen to electronic music, you know, younger, but it'd be like, you know, like Naughty's, like Fatboy Slim, Groove Armada, Chemical Brothers. I have an older brother, so a lot of the stuff he liked, I liked because I was obsessed with him. But I felt the same when I was cutting my teeth. In the industry at the start, I did feel a little bit imposter syndrome-y. And,
yeah, that's it.
Or was it, you know, or maybe I've got really something to prove because I don't know, I didn't know the discography of,
You feel bad.
Kevin Saunderson's 98 mix from whatever.
Yeah, like someone's going to ask me about this, like, and I don't know it. Like, it's so embarrassing. Like, I need to know all this.
Mm.
But it's like, nah, like, everyone has their own journey. Everyone discovers stuff when they discover stuff. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make you any more of a dance music fan or not. It's how much you just enjoy it that matters.
Yeah. And dance music's no longer this like super underground thing either.
No.
Like, it's actually a very mainstream genre now. So.
Yeah, isn't it? Like, I would say pop is literally just short for popular.
Yes. Like, let's be it real. Is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's not like some magical like genre of its own. It just means like popular music, literally. And like, so yeah, dance pop. It's just like, it's so big right now.
And genres aren't usually like totally clear cut. Mm. There's often like a bit of blurred lines over, is this or is it that anyway? So.
Yeah. How did you kind of get to the point you're at now where you're like, oh no, I know what I like and I'm okay with saying I got into dance music at this point?
I feel like it's just like the more you get used to the industry and just get comfortable. And I have just learned a lot as well in general and just feel more confident in my knowledge. I've listened to so much more music. Because you know, through getting into the music industry, you just meet so many people, you hear about so much stuff, you listen to, I feel like my spectrum of music just broadened so much when I found out about all this stuff, which was crazy. And it's, I don't know, I feel like, obviously I wish I'd discovered it earlier and started enjoying raves at a younger age, but at least I didn't like mash my brain up too hard when I was 16, I guess.
That's true.
You've got many raves to come, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. There's a whole lifetime to rave.
Yeah. Do you get out and about a lot now when you come?
Yeah, I love events. Like, I'm there, like, to be fair, less so these days because I feel like I go to a lot of events just for, feels like worky vibes. Mm. I guess you as well, like festivals, it's more like a, and even when you're just there to go to one, you're kind of still thinking about like, the music industry and stuff.
I know. I do know what you mean. But then equally, I had a weekend free this weekend gone. Went raving.
Yeah, let's go.
Went to like Field Day, Black Pride, and then saw Meg Ward DJ.
Oh, let's go.
I know, all in one day. I think that's why I'm tired today. But I actually enjoyed that because it was nice walking into a festival being, I didn't even look at the
just
lineup.
Just the punter, yeah.
I just turned up and it was
I rate that.
Great.
Mm. sick just like finding new stuff as well.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I went to like Disclosure's album launch recently. And I
that
had
looked
the,
great.
I had the best time ever. Like literally the best. And it felt great to just be there as just like, I'm just watching a DJ set right now. Mm. I have nothing to do with this.
Also, is it true that On and On was written about a festival experience?
Yes, it was
that
about Parklife, indeed.
All right, what happened?
It was, so it was the Parklife. It must have been 2020, I don't know, one probably. Mm. September, maybe. Or maybe 2022, I don't know. It was the first one back after COVID anyway. And cause, so that's why it was delayed to September, I guess. They
right.
pushed it back.
Yeah.
So it was like a bit of a, the weather was good actually, to be fair. But I had essentially, so the song is like a little bit of a lie, I guess. But it's about, I basically got home from Parklife and that's where I had lost my weed, at home, not at the festival. But, you know,
artistic license.
Big night, lost my weed. That's all I say. And it was a big night and I did lose my weed. But I did find it. I actually found it. It was, for some reason, in the fridge.
No way.
I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've got a story similar to that.
Mm.
Lost my phone, didn't know where I'd put it, found it in the fridge. And it's because I went to get something.
Oh, did you? Right.
And I put my phone down in the fridge, which is weird behaviour anyway, that to pick weird. Something up mm. and then phone's in the fridge.
I get you.
So you probably just did that.
Yeah, or I don't know if my parents just put it there because I think it was just in like a plastic bag, like it looked like a little snack, I guess. I don't know. It was in like a little takeaway like,
oh,
bag.
Oh, Perry
kind of
really loves mini broccoli trees.
Yeah. Wow, what's this? No, they're calm with it, my parents, luckily, because I don't drink because I'm like intolerant to alcohol.
Really?
Yeah, it's not an allergy. I just can't process it. So I just get sick before I get drunk.
Oh.
So.
Fair.
Mm.
I wish I had that problem.
I know, it like, saved me so much money.
Yeah, I mean,
honestly.
Your kind of generation in general, it feels like you guys drink less than my, like I'm not that much older than you, but it does feel like the younger generation, like, drink less.
Yeah, it's interesting, and everyone just vapes more.
Yeah, that's true.
Drinks less and vapes more. I don't know, to be fair, because I've got some friends that, like, knock it back, obviously, who doesn't? But I don't know, I guess, like, drug culture is pretty big these days as well.
True.
And it can end up being a much cheaper night. And everyone is struggling these days. Might be drink is so expensive.
It really is.
That might be a big part of it, you know.
That's true.
Young people are so broke.
Yeah, I mean, how have you found this? Because our like economy and scene are is in crisis, and I've seen it. You know, festivals I've meant to play, even this year, getting still postponed, cancelled.
Mm-hmm.
Had a residency in Brixton for Utopia, and it was really, really fun. I'm really happy with it, and I see it as like a success. But it was hard to sell tickets, and that was like a small scale, like 250 cap show. And I think across the board, what I'm seeing and speaking to other DJs and promoters, it's been hard. It's still hard. Like, we're not off the other side of the pandemic. It feels like the effects of that are still being felt.
Yeah, the revenue like for live music is like not recovered at all. I was looking it up the other day for some reason, but I think like it's partly definitely COVID, like the hit of that, but then also just the cost of living crisis in general, which is like partly because of COVID and partly just Brexit and just everything. But it's crazy. People really just have a lot less like income to spare to go to events and do fun stuff. And then because like you go a night out, like it's not just the tickets, it's the taxis, the drinks, the whatever, the cloakroom, you know, the takeaway afterwards. And it can really add up to a lot, and people are just like, you know, putting things off because of that, which is such a shame because you don't want to live like that. And I was so broke at uni and like after uni, and I've definitely been there like turning down doing fun stuff just because of money. And it sucks like that young people and students particularly are in this position.
Yeah.
So students like get lit, you know?
Yeah. And also, but also students were at uni, which is meant to be the time you go out the most. Some students were at uni during COVID times. So they literally were in quarantine or there was no events going on.
It's mad. My little sister got completely screwed by it as well because she started in the first year of COVID, so she had no freshers. She didn't even move to the city. Like, it was Leeds. She just stayed at home. It was, like, didn't meet anyone because, like, my friends were just purely from, like, you know, my course. I didn't really make friends with my flatmates, but so many people just, like, make lifelong friends in that first week, and it's crazy that she didn't get to do that. She doesn't really have many uni friends because of it.
Wow.
And I think a lot of people are in that position. So I know, it's so wild.
It's sad.
Yeah, it is. Because you obviously you only get to do it once, really, as of like fresher.
Mm. Yeah. What kind of fresher were you?
I tried my best, like, honestly. I've got this drinking thing, but, and I knew about it, not in the detail I do now. I didn't know my limits.
I don't think any of us did.
And the first night of freshers, I was like, look, I'm going to do it. Like, I don't even care. I'm going to just drink. I'm going to get drunk. I want to do it. And I was, you know, I just met all these new people in my, like, student house or whatever on campus. And there was, like, all these events, and I was just like, I'm going to do it. I had this apple flavored Smirnoff vodka.
Nice.
It's tasty. I can't drink it anymore. And I only had like a quarter of the bottle with lemonade, like over like a few hours as well. I was actually lit. I was drunk for like half an hour, having the time of my life. By 11:30, I had to run back to my flat and start throwing up. Oh. And then throughout the night, I was like back and forth to the toilet till 8 a.m., like straight from 11 till 8 a.m.
Oh.
Just like nothing was even coming up. It was just like bright yellow.
Wow.
But like a highlight of fluid.
It was quite traumatizing.
Yeah. And it was just like, what is this worth it? Is this really worth it? So that was my freshers. That was the first night. I did have a good time at first.
Oh my God.
And at pre's and stuff. But nah, I did not recover. And then the nights after, everyone was like, come out. And I was just like, why? Like, what am I going to do?
So you didn't go out that much?
Not in the first year of uni, and then it was the second year when I discovered dance music. And that was it as well, because I didn't really enjoy the music either. Mm.
Was it also at uni that you got into pole dancing, or was that pre-uni?
Yeah, that was second year as well. Everything popped off for me in second year.
That's when you found yourself.
Yeah, innit? It started happening. We were turning into the person we are now. It was just like, I didn't do any societies in first year. And then in second year, me and my housemate were like, we've got to do something this year, like, you know, they do free taster sessions, like, let's just do one, like, I'll go if you go kind of situation. And we just went, and it was like the most fun ever. So good. Have you tried it?
No, I'd love to. A couple of my friends do it.
You should do like a, make a video out of it, like, Jaguar tries pole.
Oh my God,
it'd
be so embarrassing.
It'd be awesome.
I'm like the least flexible person ever.
You should give it a go.
Someone needs to do like some fun series like that with DJs, like get them to try a stupid shit. Wouldn't that be funny?
I mean, yeah, people would probably love to see
a bunch of people try and pole.
You've got to be strong though.
Yeah, well, you get strong. I was so weak at first. Like,
really?
I didn't do any exercise at all before that. Like, I didn't enjoy anything. Like, obviously I liked like rounders, but not...
Because you can just like stand there.
I know, exactly. Just like hitting the ball, super fun. Love it. That was the one.
I'm the same. I loved rounders.
It's great. I think my friend's having a birthday party next week to play the rounders.
Well, there you go.
Throw it back. But yeah, I liked rounders. My dad tried to put me in a running club once, and that was horrendous.
Did you just run away?
I would just like cry. I got asthma. No one knew. I was tasting blood. I was like, what's happening to me?
No.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I'm not doing this. I like long jump.
I guess if you've got asthma, pole dancing is a really good sport because it's not like.
It's not like. Cardio, it doesn't get you out of breath.
But it's still.
Yeah, it's more like muscle work.
Yeah,
rather than like. Because you know, you do a trick and then you like chill out and like watch the video and kind of thing. But it was so fun. Like, I got so strong. I started like caring about being strong and flexible. Like, I started stretching. I've got the splits. Like, it took me a year, but we did that. It's crazy how you can just like do the splits if you just
maybe I should start pole dancing. Maybe in a year I'll be doing
the
splits.
Let's go. But it's like, I can't recommend it enough. It's so fun. You exercise without realizing it. Yeah. It's kind of one of those things. And it works at every bit of your body as well.
Are you in a lot of pain? Like when you're starting at learning, is it just
so,
everywhere
so
hurts?
Painful, yeah. Not even just the muscles as well, it's the skin that's the worst.
Skin.
Bit. Because you have to hold your whole body weight up just on friction, just skin. So like you just sit on the pole, like cross your legs over, let go, and just your thighs on this metal pole is holding you up. Your knee, you just like close your knee in the pole and you just gotta hold on with literally just that piece of skin.
Wow.
And it hurts so bad at first. Like it stops hurting, you get used to it, but you get mad bruises as well. It feels like success when you get a bruise though.
Oh my God.
It's wild. People don't like, it's just a sport like figure skating or gymnastics. It's very similar to those kind of things. It's like really, really impressive when people are like super good at it.
Yeah. I'm definitely curious, so I will let you know when I'm ready.
Yeah, do
when
it.
When I'm ready
I've got
for a lesson.
Come around mine, I'll
I
do
will.
It.
Have you got one in your house?
Mm.
That's cool.
I've got two now. One of them's actually Ash Nicole's old poem.
No way.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy coincidence. She was like moving out of her house in like London. One of my friends works for this agency and was like hired to help her move out. And then she was just selling a bunch of stuff just that she couldn't take on the plane just to get rid of it, like a treadmill and a pole.
I thought you said Ashley Cole then.
Oh, no.
Ashley Cole.
I think I said it a bit weird, to be fair.
I thought you meant Cheryl weird, Cole's like, ex-husband, the footballer.
No.
That's funny. Ashley Cole. That makes more sense. I was thinking, I had no idea.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense for her to have a pole.
Yeah. Do you guys know each other?
No, I never met her. Just have her pole in my house now. So
that's
funny.
Cool.
But my friend met her who sold the pole because she was just like, flogging a bunch of the stuff that she couldn't take back to America. America. Mm-hmm.
So why do you have two? What are you going to do with two poles?
Teach my friends.
Nice.
So fun. Like it motivates me to do it as well because it's hard to like get off your ass and get on the damn things.
Yeah.
But I love teaching people because obviously like getting into pole changed my life. Like, physically, which I think is really important. It's good to have like a sport that you connect with or just like some kind of physical body thing, whether it's just yoga or running, just anything. So I don't know. Yeah, it's just really nice. Like, and it's just super fun doing it with your friends. Super fun. Everyone's falling over and shit.
I guess it's probably a very humbling experience.
Yeah, it's what you want. It's like going roller skating for the first time.
Oh my God, I hate roller skating. It's not for me.
Really?
It's not for me.
It's funny. Some people are complete naturals and some people are Bambi.
That's me.
That's the Bambi one. But it's fun though. Okay,
maybe. Is pole something you want to put into like your performing in your live shows?
I've done one show with the pole, which is
sick.
It was me and Tommy's Scala show last November, our London headline, and it was just like there was just one moment, it was probably like a minute and a half, just like we added this like bit of whimsical music and I just like did a few tricks. Like I was scared as hell, to be honest, because I had shoes on. You're not supposed to do it in shoes because your feet like grip onto the pole as well. I had just this like my stage outfit, I had like an IEM pack attached to me and I was like, God, they're gonna get trapped, it's gonna like I'm gonna fall. I think I practiced it the day before and I just kept falling and I was like but it went really well. It was so fun. And I would love to do more stuff like that, but the thing's so hard to take around.
Yeah,
it's heavy.
You've got to put a whole pole up in a takes, venue
because it's just got like this weighted base. It's like 100 kilograms.
Oh my God,
they like separate into chunks, but it's so like difficult to lug. But We might try it for tour this year.
Yeah. Okay. Let us know how you get on.
Pending. Yeah. And I've done it in a few music videos as well.
Yeah.
Which is fun. It's like a nice little trick to have up your sleeve.
Yeah. Love that.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Okay, so going back to your journey.
Uh-huh.
So I want to hear about you making the tunes that we've spoken about, Soft Spot, On and On.
Yes.
Because it feels like you and Tommy have had like a quick rise.
Mm.
And so...
It was wild.
Just so I get the timeline right. So you were at uni.
Mm-hmm.
You did uni.
Yep.
And then you met Tommy.
Yes.
And then you guys met during lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got together. You lived together.
Yeah, I stayed in his student house through lockdown.
Yeah.
So it was so soon as well.
And I mean, it was the time we lived in,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it was either like with my mom and dad or with Tommy. And I was like, that's a lot more fun. Like this young student band in Manchester, let's do that.
Why not?
Yeah.
And then you started making music together.
Mm-hmm.
Was it just like something to do? Because let's be real, there wasn't much going on.
Literally, it was so random. So obviously I knew he was in a band, but I didn't really know to the extent of the extent that he did like production and stuff. Because he'd like, since he was 16, just been making like drum and bass and Jump Up on SoundCloud and stuff like that. And like, I heard all that and I was like, yo, because I'd never had any friends even into that music. Well, until like recently, especially didn't know anyone who like made it or like even how, like it seemed like such a distant concept to me. And like, I would write songs on guitar through my life, but it seemed impossible to make a record, you know what I mean? Like, something that you actually have on Spotify just seemed, like, impossible. Like, it's not even worth, like, comprehending, do you know what I mean, to me? But then, like, I was just, like, I just said to him, like, show me how, like, how do you make a track kind of thing. And I just sat and watched him on Logic, and he made this beat. And then I was, like, I don't know, I just think I asked to try writing on it. So he just sent it to me, and then I put it on GarageBand on my phone, just, like, looping it and just, like, trying to come up with stuff, like, really scared to show him. I think I had to leave the room while he listened to it.
Really?
But, yeah, the first thing we ever made actually ended up on Frog MP3, the mixtape. It's the last track, Sunlight. It's,
no
like,
way.
A house tune. Yeah. First thing he made was this, like, it's, like, Fleetwood Mac house vibes, just, like, with guitar. And it was, I don't know, it just worked. And I think, like, when I played it to him, like, he liked what I wrote straight away, and it just seemed like good synergy from the go, to be fair.
Mm.
And then, yeah, we made that, and then we just, like, I felt like I was bugging him to, like, can we work on music again? kind of thing. Because he had, like, all his band stuff, and that was his main focus, and I didn't want to, like, I don't know, be distracting. But it was just, like, we both just had a lot of fun, and we experimented, like, made loads of different stuff. But we're lucky that our tastes like align as well. And like the fact he was like always making so many beats, but he was like a bit self-conscious about his writing. But I would like write, but couldn't have any beats or like couldn't like play guitar well enough to write a good song kind of thing.
So you kind of were like yin and yang in a way. Yeah.
It fit very well.
Yeah.
Kind of like a band, like a traditional band. Where
yeah.
You have, like,
everyone's strengths and weaknesses.
Someone.
Just like, yeah. Everyone's got like a job to do kind of thing.
So were you were singing and writing songs when you were a lot younger then,
yeah.
But did you ever think you'd be like actually a musician?
Like not at all. Like I would always say like as a joke, like I want to be Doja Cat, but it wasn't serious. Like I was saying, it just seemed so pointless to even like try.
Well, was it not serious because you didn't know how to get there, but did you like secretly want it, or you generally were just like
I definitely like wanted it, but it seemed like such a like dream. Like an alternate universe type of dream kind of thing that like that's just not gonna happen. So crazy, like it still trips me out to this day.
But I feel like this feels like one of those serendipitous moments because if we hadn't had the pandemic, for example,
exactly,
would you guys have been living a house together making loads of tunes in Manchester? Probably not.
That's what bugs me out the most. How like easy it would have been for us to just never meet and for this to never have happened.
Like, crazy.
Isn't it like the odds that we met are so low?
But that's life, babes. Yeah.
I know, isn't it? It comes at you fast, and I don't know where I would be right now. It's insane.
Yeah,
to imagine that.
I believe in fate.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm one of those.
Everything happens.
Butterfly effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
So, okay, we're going back to that time. You're making tunes. It all fits, and then you release Soft Spot. And it just kind of went crazy online, right?
Yeah, it was mad. So we'd been making like a bunch of disco, and our first release was a disco song. And then Soft Spot was the second thing we ever dropped. And we just like, I liked Liquid, so I was like, let's make some, because he never really made Liquid. He made like loads of Jump Up.
Mm.
And then he made his band stuff. And then I was like, let's make like just a really nice chill drum and bass song. Because Soft Spot is just very like, it's not happy, it's not sad. It's just kind of dreamy, whimsical and chill kind of vibes. So he just made that beat and then sent it to me. And it was the same thing. Like, I think by that point I'd like gotten Logic and a laptop because we'd like been making a bunch of stuff. And I just sat and like wrote soft. Literally, it came out that one. Like, it's always the best ones that just like come out of you. And I was just like, damn. And I pretty much just sent him like the whole song. And he was like, wow. He really liked it. I remember thinking like, let's go at the time. It definitely had a good feeling about it from the start, which is crazy.
And then, sometimes you just know.
I know, isn't it? I remember like listening to it every morning, like putting my makeup on, like scrutinizing it. And then, it finally came out and I was gassed with how it was doing for the first week in general, but it was still just like baby numbers really. But then after 2 weeks of it coming out, it started just like, I don't know, doing things on TikTok and Spotify just kind of supported it as well in their own way. They just put in a few playlists. And it just like, I don't know. That's when we started getting like emails as well from like labels and stuff, which was like so unexpected.
I bet.
It was crazy.
How did you react when you were getting this attention?
I was so happy, to be honest, as you would be, but like the words like record deal just sounded like not even real. Do you know what I mean? Mm. That sounded like a joke from like a Disney series or something, like get a record deal. And then there it was like on an email in front of me and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just remember me and Tommy both just like sat staring at a phone, just like losing our minds fully.
I bet. Because you guys were like 20.
Yeah, like 21. 21 at the time, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So it's a big old thing. And then it did happen. You guys did sign a big label deal.
Mm.
And it just felt like I saw you and heard you everywhere.
I'm glad to hear that. But yeah, it just went, I don't know, I think it's because we had so much music already. We were in a really good position when we were negotiating with labels because we had a lot to play and we had a plan. Like, we were like, we want to drop all these tunes, like, as a project. We were calling it an album at the time, but now it's like, it came out as a mixtape eventually, which I think was the right call, to be fair. But yeah, and then I feel like that puts you in a good position talking to labels when you know what you want, because then they don't think they know better and try and like make a plan for you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like major labels I'm talking about.
Yeah, anyway. And you kind of had your sound and your everything down, which is...
And they like trusted us, luckily.
Mm.
And let us like... None of our music was ever really like scrutinized or changed by our labels. We've been very like... We've had great teams, we've heard, been very lucky. And I think it's just because like we're both so like Tommy's such a perfectionist, especially as well, and I am with my vocals too.
Mm.
So we're always like putting 100% into it as well.
Yeah, and then at the time as well, you guys were a couple and making music together, getting a record deal.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds quite intense.
Super intense. Yeah. It's interesting for our relationship as well. It was definitely like. It was a lot for sure.
Mm.
Like the living together thing was crazy too. I think we were both like, we were very young, so we kind of like took it well.
Mm.
But we were definitely like naive about it too. Definitely didn't think hard enough about that one.
Yeah. I mean, babes,
no regret.
It's life.
I know, isn't it? Yeah. I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah. No, that's good. And then you were like very like public and open about your split start of the year.
Yes.
But you're still collaborating now.
Yeah, we're just like bandmates now, which is sick. It's like definitely better for our like projects, for our music as well, I think, having this. Because obviously like there was something, I don't know, dating a person you're making music with, obviously there's like something interesting in that with the music that it makes, I guess. But I think, I don't know, that's what's nice about that first album. It's like that's kind of the diary of that and that's kind of the journey. And now we're just like, I don't know, it's a lot better for just like communication and just like working together without like just like weird like emotional deepage, you know?
Yeah. Before we were recording this, you're mentioning you did like a Sound of show.
Yeah.
And it was like deep into the breakup.
That was like, so we announced the breakup in the new year, but we actually broke up at the end of November. So,
oh wow.
So we'd been broken up for like, it was crazy. It was like literally we finished tour. It was a week after we finished our tour. That we had the Warehouse Project show we had was the last show of the tour, where we kind of counted it as our Manchester show. And then, it was literally a week after that. So it had been, the thing was in January, so it had been like about a month and a bit, a month and a week or something. And it was the first time we'd seen each other, except for, like, the rehearsal the day before. And it was so intense. Like, we just, I don't know why, we just thought, like, it'd be okay. We were like, yeah, let's do a gig.
Well, you did well. Like, it looked, it sounded great.
Pulled through, so professional.
That's it.
Let's go.
That's it. I feel like if you can get through that. Mm.
Great team around us as well. Great people.
Yeah.
It was very, like, everyone was super good about it. Like, our managers have been, like, so bless
yeah
through the breakup, because obviously it's a lot, it's unexpected for everyone. And we kind of felt bad telling them, like, ooh,
it's bad.
I know, mum and dad having to sit down the kids,
yeah,
like,
isn't it? So here's this duo that you guys have just started working with, guess what, like, something massive has just changed. It felt like so uncertain as well, like every week me and Tommy both felt different about everything. Yeah. And like, it was so unstable that whole period. But then it wasn't till like this April, Up Down came out in February as well. That was wild. We were still like really crazy at that point.
Yeah.
And then April came around, and that's when everything started, like, you know, settling as friends.
Yeah.
New dynamic.
Well, well done. Because that's not easy.
We're just lucky that it was very amicable. Mm. And that both of us just I don't know, we were just luckily kind of able to be mature about it, because neither of us did anything bad to each other, really. We both, like, knew that we meant well the whole time.
Mm. Yeah, then that's all you can ask for, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to move on to this. So you've been quite open before about using OnlyFans as a mm-hmm. platform.
Yep.
And I love that, by the way, that you are just saying it for what it is and just being open about it, because why hide it?
Yeah, know? Exactly. Like, it's not really anything to be ashamed of, to be honest. It's one of those things, like, everyone consumes porn. So it's interesting that there's this taboo about, you know, the people that make it.
Totally.
It's like, you see porn stars, like, you know, every week or however often you mm-hmm. masturbate. but it's just, it's like, why is it a shock that people make it? You know, if you're like, you're literally seeing it, like, there it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's such an interesting taboo. Especially, like, some people who consume it the most are the most judgmental as well. It's really interesting, like, what's going on there psychologically.
Yeah, it's something for sure. And you've said, like, without it, you wouldn't have been able to pursue music, and you've helped fund your career life
honestly,
with it.
So lucky, like, so I pretty much started it as soon as I finished uni, because I was so broke, like...
Mm.
I was working as well, like, every weekend through uni. I was working at Asda, like, Saturday and Sunday shifts. My parents were like, it was like an unfortunate thing. I think a lot of students end up in this situation where their parents are technically earning a lot, so they get a really low student loan, but their parents are in debt, so they can't help them out.
Right,
because,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It doesn't calculate it after tax or after, like, you know, your actual expendable income. It's just on, like, income in. Kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, my parents were in that situation where they were just like struggling, even though the like paychecks were technically like putting me in this category to not get a good loan. And like, obviously I was very blessed with my upbringing anyway. But yeah, it made it difficult for uni. I was like very like, you know, super, like, I was like max overdraft and owed my friend 800 quid whilst I was working still. It was like a lot, and I was
that's
like,
stressful.
I don't know, like, I feel like I wasn't spending much like money that bad, to be fair. It was just rent and like,
yeah, living.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. I didn't go on any holidays or nothing. Didn't really like splash the cash, but yeah, it's just, and I was in Lancaster as well. Like, God knows where the money went. to be honest, it's not like London.
Yeah,
it would have gone in a flash if I was down here.
Well, it's hard, isn't it? I think it's something with the creative industries. Mm. It's like, it's. Because there's a really high percentage, I can't remember what it is, but it's like a like shockingly high percentage of people who work in the music industry went to private school.
Mm.
And I actually went to private school,
mm-hmm.
and it's not something I've ever hidden, and like I'm very aware of the privilege that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so interesting, because pursuing any creative job really, like, it is a luxury to be able to do something, because you know when you're starting out, you don't get paid, or it's really hard to make enough money to live.
So hard
of creative.
I think as well
stuff.
as well as just like a school and class thing. I think it's also like the country. Like, I think it's way harder to succeed in the north.
Yeah.
Or just like not London. Yeah. It's just London that's the bubble, essentially. Like not even just music, like photography. In London, everyone's here. Like, all the clients are here doing, like, music and et cetera, et cetera. And, like, not, like, styling as well. My cousin, who does styling, moved to London as well, just like I moved to music.
Yeah.
So it's anyone doing creative stuff, just, like, it's kind of forced to move. Like, I didn't want to move to London at first. I love it now. Like, I'm very glad I did.
Did you just feel you had to?
Yeah, it was, like, mostly for the label, and then, like, most, like, all the management's down here as well. Mm. Like, I feel like it'd be kind of peak having a, like, manager that's like in a different city, because it does feel far away from Manchester, London. But it's wild how much of a difference it makes, and that's probably partly why I thought it was never thought to have it as a career. Do you know what I mean? It's probably part of why it seemed so impossible.
Yeah,
just like being up there in Manchester, like, I don't know, how would you go about it?
So was it OnlyFans that enabled you financially to do music?
Yeah, so I started it, and it was like really scary for the first like month where you don't earn a lot, but I was like grinding on the promotion, and then it ended up like I was just like so surprised with how much you could even make from it. Like, it is shocking, because like, I don't know, you kind of think like, who's actually paying for it?
Yeah.
People do.
Yeah, fair enough.
Especially when I work, like, it kind of makes more sense now. I'm a musician and people like know who I am, and like, you know, go subscribe and support for that reason too. But especially then, I was just like some girl, literally. But I was like so blessed, and it made me just like able to, like, I would still work at Asda, but I like cut it down a lot, so I just had a lot more time. I was able to move to Manchester, just being able to like buy a MacBook and Logic Pro. Like, I remember at the time thinking like, God, is it worth it? Am I even going to use it enough? Like, it's so much money, like, etc. And you have to get an interface and a mic and headphones and all this, blah blah blah. It's a lot just to start, because you can't really like make music without that stuff. Or you have to like book studios, and that's expensive as well. Don't really know what you're doing, kind of thing. So yeah, it was like a huge investment, and it was like a big deal. And like, I definitely 100% would not have had that money without OnlyFans. And I wouldn't have like written Softspot on that laptop in my fucking room.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No, it's a really good point.
I just said the promotion as well that I was able to, like, I paid for like, I think like 3 TikToks from some like semi-big TikTokers at the time. Well, like one was like 600k, 400k kind of vibe. Like, no, like, super famous people. But, like, yeah, I got a few TikToks, and that was, like, they were, like, 200 quid each or something. And that's just not money I would have had for sure otherwise. And still at the time, it felt like a gamble.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many costs in music, which I've learned with my label as well.
Yeah, I'm sure you know. Like,
everything costs money.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it feels as well, OnlyFans as a platform, like, it feels like the future for like sustainable sex work. And like, for example, it's safe for the people doing it. You can do it from home, with a laptop in between. You can do it from home, you can make good money.
Yeah, that's why I'm so like open and proud to be a part of it, because like a lot of the porn industry is like, see, the thing with OnlyFans is that you make the content, you choose what to do, like, you literally do, like, there's no one pressuring you to do anything, you do what you want to do. And then you set your own prices. All the money comes straight to you. Like, there's no one taking a cut, kind of, except for like the website. But you know, they host it, so fair enough. But yeah, literally, all comes to you. You get to make all the decisions. You get to do like however much you want, reveal however much you want, block whoever you want. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no pressure involved, and it's like, it feels good, because obviously, like I said, that everyone, well, close to everyone, consumes porn, so you're not going to get rid of it. So there has to be a way to make it work. And I feel like this is definitely like the start, or if not, is it.
Did you ever feel anxious about people finding out about it, or like music, like people who are fans of your music finding out about it, or have you always just felt super open?
I was definitely like, it was more so at the start, especially when it's less successful, because, you know, once it's making money, you kind of feel like, gives you like an excuse to say like, yeah, I do this, but you know, I'm making this money, like, kind of ha ha ha. But when you first start out, and when it's not like massively successful, it feels like really, really scary to tell people. And I remember it was easy with my friends, because, like, you know, I feel like our generation is super progressive with respect to that kind of stuff. But obviously my parents were super scary to tell them.
Yeah.
And like, just like you said, with music at first, I was just worried, like, especially with like things like the BBC, I'm just always like, I don't know, could that be a barrier? It thankfully hasn't been, because I mean, it's been awesome. But it's still like something to think about. And then it's something like, I know Tommy was thinking about as well. And like our management was super calm with it too. And I've just found nothing but like nothing but support from the music industry, to be honest, which is awesome. Can't say the same for like comments online, but.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I feel like even if you, God, I feel like anything anyone does online, someone's got something to say about it. Yeah. Even you, for like, I'm going to give £1 million to blind children,
Mr. Beast, literally.
Or like people be like, well, everyone's got something. Like, how do you deal with negative comments?
God, it depends. Some of them are just so stupid that it's easy. Some of them are funny, first of all, so that's the best kind to deal with, the ones that are just so stupid that they're jokes. Some of them are just like about something that you don't really care about, or you just know they're wrong, so you don't really care. Some obviously hit deep. Some just like, you know, you've always had that one comment that just like gets you right when you're down already, kind of thing. That's it. It's more of like the mood you're in when you read the comments. I think, I don't know, I feel like the best way is to read them less, but I don't know about you guys, but I've never been able to stop myself from like hate, like just scrolling through all the hate comments, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So difficult. But yeah, you've got to just, I don't know, distance yourself from it and just think like, they don't actually know me. They don't know who I am. They're just judging me off this like 15-second clip.
And they're usually hiding behind an anonymous account.
That's it.
With like zero followers and a fake profile
picture.
And
I really found that most hate just comes from like, so say if you're, you know, someone scrolling through TikTok, you see a TikTok, you click on the comments. If the comments are already full of hate, it just...
They feel empowered.
Yeah, it makes you think like, that is the opinion that I should have on this video, so I hate it as well, kind of thing. But if what your video starts out getting a few positive comments, it ends up being really positive. So it's funny how it either tips the scale really hard one way or really hard to the other.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
I'm normally like, because we've put up clips from the podcast, people love to just let us know that they vehemently disagree.
Let's go.
But I'm always like, thank you for bumping this in the algorithm. Thank you for your comment.
That's it.
Like, sometimes I put up the more like spicy ones because I'm like, well, more people might watch the book, listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm. So sure.
It's good for engagement. Like, it is, like, hate comments do help. Like, I've had a few TikToks go like pretty viral just purely because of the amount of hate they were getting, which is quite like, I don't know, it's like,
this is how Katie Hopkins did her.
Yeah, it's, there's like so many people use this to their advantage, and it's like a technique now just to purposely be controversial. Like, have you heard of KK Butterfly?
No.
Did you hear that TikTok song Chip Shop? At the Chip Shop, looking like a slag.
That I feel like I've had my girlfriend singing that.
It was like a huge TikTok tune last year. It was around the same time as Binley Mega Chippy as well, I think, conveniently. Okay. KK is just like the most... I met KK through TikTok because it was... this is just such a tangent, but like, basically they posted my song Words like a week before it came out or something, pretended it was their song on April Fool's, and it was just sped up. It was on, so it was an April Fool's joke. And then luckily, like, I found it jokes because it was funny for me. The comments on KK's video had so much love, but all my videos of the song had so much hate. So for me, it was just kind of nice to see people actually liking my song. I was like, yo, let's go. They were all saying like, KK, this is your best song ever, which is, wow. I know, a double-edged sword. And then like, I just, like, we just started messaging and talking through that, but I bring them up because they just like will post the most outrageous, like controversial stuff just for like, on tweets, on Twitter, they'll just like write complete paragraphs of lies just under viral tweets and then a video of their song. It's such an interesting way to promote, just purely like winding people up.
Also,
just
I think
the clicks, it's crazy.
The algorithm will serve your video to more people similar to the ones who've been engaging with your video.
That's it.
So if you start pissing off a community that disagree with you, it's going to get served more and more and more to that
farm
to that but community.
That very principle like was a major reason for On and On success as well.
Yeah,
because some American guy called The Crunchy Beat, shout out, made a video saying that it was jungle, and then of all the UK junglists got mega pissed off and were like, this is actually drum and bass, not jungle. Which I mean, like, fair enough, but It was an honest mistake, but him getting like roasted on that video blew the song up like loads, because like so many people just heard it, and the people that were hearing it were like the UK dance music crowd, because that's who that video was getting served to, because they were the ones hating on it. So it was kind of like, it was kind of like a beautiful mess, really.
Interesting.
I know.
So just piss people off.
Yeah,
is that's how to
that's
promote
the key
thing.
That's the key. Try and piss off the very target audience that you want to get it to as well.
I mean, do you get super frustrated as well with the algorithm? Because I've had enough, to be honest. I'm like, oh, okay, so I spent like years like building up this follower fan base. Cool. Why did less people than ever see majority of my content? Especially the ones I've spent 3 hours editing in the shitty Reels app, because it crashes and I'm trying to do Instagram and TikTok. What the hell?
I know, innit? Like, Reels is so hard. Babe, it breaks my brain. Don't even start on YouTube Shorts as well.
Oh, my, I can't. I won't, because I simply can't.
Let's go.
But steam coming out your ears.
I don't know, because I consume Reels less as well, so I just feel a bit like more alienated from Reels than TikTok. But yeah, no, what happened to the algorithm? I swear there was just something that happened, because I feel exactly the same way. It's like, why do I have all these followers? Why did I bother getting these followers if you just don't show them my videos?
It's almost like if you had less followers, more people would see your stuff.
I know, it's like, what?
But I have a theory. Mm-hmm. I actually came up with this last night.
Mm-hmm.
My mind is going to weird places this week. I'm like overtired, drinking too much coffee, but thinking always.
Philosophical era.
Yes, correct. So I thought, right, I was like, why does no one see anything? But then I thought, there's more content out there than ever. And if you think about what social media is, it's like the equivalent of like 10, 15 years ago, putting up a poster, isn't it? Being like, my new track, Love a Girl by Piri.
Yeah.
But then if you think about The Wall has like 5,000 posters on already. And then there's like a crowd of people, like rows of people trying to see your poster there. They probably can't, because there's just so much stuff on the wall and so many people trying to see.
So true. You're right. Like, I think that was probably the shift as well, especially for music content. Because I think obviously people see like TikTok's great for music promotion. Everyone rushed to TikTok. Then TikTok's just full of music promotion. And that's exactly what you're getting.
It's quite good, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I literally
it's a great analogy with the poster. I could see it so clearly in my mind.
Visionary.
The crowds trying to...
But what do we do? Like, what do we do?
I don't know.
What do we do?
It's like, either you be like completely outrageous, or you just have to come up with the best idea ever. Like, have you seen that duo on TikTok, Fly and a Boss? It's those two, the Hello Christ. I'm about to sin again. Those girls, they've basically been making these videos where they like run through really crowded places and like sing their song and like do like little dances and stuff. But the videos are just like so cool, and they're like on motion tracks and stuff. And they were just so cool that they completely popped off just from that like video technique. And it's like, how do you come up with something like that? You can sit there and rack your brain for hours, and it'll just, and I don't know, it's just such a random thing.
But how do you come up with your stuff? Two, how do you have time for like making music, promoting music, doing pole, touring, living? Genuinely?
Honestly, like, I just haven't really been making much content lately. And that's it. Like, I don't know. Obviously, it comes in like waves of motivation, but right now I'm definitely out of beans on TikTok, and I'm posting really infrequently. And you kind of just got to allow yourself to have times like that.
Yeah, true.
Because the more you force it, it's not going to make it any better. It's going to make you more stressed. But yeah, I don't know. Like, nothing I've posted recently has done exceptionally well, to be honest. And it's kind of just like, it just kind of feel pointless recently. I wish I had an answer.
Maybe we'll never know.
So peak.
We're coming towards the end. I want to ask you one more, I think,
okay,
and then we'll move on to like the final question.
Okay.
But obviously you make electronic music, you are vocalist, you're producing now as well, which we'd love to see. Will we ever hit a Piri DJ set?
Piri DJ set, let's go. Well, I really want to. I need to just learn. I'm basically like, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of intimidation with that, like... And then there's also just like, I just don't know if I am the type of person who would be bothered to constantly be putting music on a USB stick. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know that's like, such a lazy thing to say, but like, I don't know. It just, it seems so long to me in my head doing that.
Fair.
And like Record Box and all that.
Oh, babes, if you can do Logic.
Yeah.
At Ableton and Matitudes, you can do Record Box.
No.
Yeah. I will show you Record Box.
Show me Record Box. Because like Tommy DJs, I could have asked so many times, just teach me how to DJ. He had decks like in our house.
Putting tracks on your USB is quite fun as well, because it's just like picking your favorite music. It's kind of like make just like.
Yes. But how do you get all the files? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. That's a bit.
That's it. Like, if I could just take them from Spotify and put them on a stick, that'd be calm. But you've got to like. And then you've got to make edits and things. Like, that would be fun, to be fair. I think I would enjoy that more than record boxing stuff.
No, that's fair. I mean,
and then DJ, I would love to try just like actually just physically DJing, because I've never done
tried
that
it?
Either. Now I've like pressed a few buttons on it. Like, I know what the buttons do, kind of loosely. But I have never blended.
What?
I've never done a blend yet.
You teach Jaguar how to pole dance and Jaguar can teach
you
how
to
DJ.
The mad exchange. Let's go. That's so funny.
That sounds good.
Yeah, but I would love to. So many people like are getting into it these days. So many like girls I know. There's a lot of like Loud London who just like DJ, and it's sick. And I feel like, I don't know, yeah, it would be nice.
Mm.
Just sounds scary. Like, you know, you're so responsible for the whole room. People act as though DJing is easy, but it's so stressful.
I think to do it well is a skill. The actual like technicalities are not difficult, like the basics, I would say. But like to do it well, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, but DJs don't get enough credit, I think. Like, just the pure pressure of like being on a stage, just like all these people that are only listening to what I'm playing right now, and I have to set the vibe. I think that's it's not easy.
Yeah, there you go. Shout out Loud London as well.
Oh yeah, shout out to them girls.
Okay, which was the end final question. You ready?
Yes.
What is your utopia?
My utopia right now, I feel like I'm really happy with my gaff. I love my gaff right now. It's got like colourful paper chains across the roof. Always keep it spick and span. Just like in my house, eating a Nando's. I have like Nando's probably 4 times a week at least.
Nice.
I've actually got a problem. Eating that just with like probably like on Logic, to be honest. That's just like when I feel most actually in the zone. Like, that's a very personal utopia.
Mm.
Obviously, the grand scheme of things would be like, you know, world peace, let's go. World peace would be awesome. But yeah, no, my personal utopia is just like a very chill evening at home.
Sounds great.
Mm.
All right. Perry, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's honestly been such a sick chat. It went so quick.
I know.
Literally crazy.
Also, Piri Nando's brand deal would be Piri
Where
Piri.
Where is it?
If you love Nando's,
they've
get that
sent
bag.
Me a few gift cards. I'm eternally grateful.
But we need your Piri face Piri. On a bottle of sauce.
They made like a bottle for Ice Spice that said Ice Spice on it, and it was all like encrusted with gems, and I was like, she you know, rock that Ice Spice. She deserves it.
Mm. Yeah.
You're next, I'm sure.
Spice themed names.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Utopia Talks is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was. But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs. Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.